A paid presentation.
Welcome to the longest running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike is here every Sunday morning at 9 with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike. And now, the man whose first words were location, location, location. Here's Mike Kelly.
Good morning, Sonoma County. Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350 KSRO, 103.5 FM, 94.5 FM, broadcasting over the internet at KSRO.com. Welcome to the show. It's a very interesting. We're glad to have Keith Becker in studio. He is with Didi's Rentals. He's the owner, and he is a expert on the field, obviously, of rental properties, the procedures, and how you become a tenant to one of his properties. We're going to talk about that. We're going to kind of break it into segments over the hour, so you can give us a call. And if you have any questions regarding if you're an investor and you're wondering what a property manager does, if you're a tenant and you wonder, you know, can your landlord do this to you? If you're a landlord and can you do that to the tenant? I mean, it goes back and forth. And Keith has been doing this for many years. So, Keith, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been doing this for. And by the way, happy birthday. Now tell us your story.
I'm an old guy.
You went to dinner.
Oh, I went to dinner on Friday night. A friend and I went out to dinner. It was like eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Where should we go?
Right.
We wound at Santa Rosa Seafood Market and Restaurant. Had a wonderful dinner. It's a great restaurant, but unfortunately, I can't recommend it right now because 6 hours after we had dinner, the place had a fire. So it's going to be out of commission for a little while. But when it does come back online, it was a great meal, great service, great location.
Oh, that's too bad. And great, if you have not been there, they have a fabulous seafood market. And I guess you can also buy their product at the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market, I think.
And from what I understand, it is still the farmers market services and product will still be available. Good. They're still going to be able to carry on.
Well, happy birthday. So if Keith comes into your restaurant next year on his birthday, be very careful. All right, so tell us a bit about yourself.
I've been in Santa Rosa since 1994. I moved here because my wife got a job in radio, of all things.
Really?
And I was hired by Didi's Rentals as an administrative assistant. And through fortune and pluck and fortitude, I actually wound up being able to purchase the company.
Right.
Been doing this now for 24 years, and I have never in that time been bored.
Yeah. Yes, it's a constantly moving target, being in property management. So we're going to talk to Keith more about, there's a few questions we're going to chat about. The first thing we're going to chat about is and you're going to be hearing me talk more and more about this in the months to come, is the issue of rent control. So now you and I worked together on the last rent control ordinance and defeating that. And we are pretty much against rent control. And there's reasons why that is. We're not just because, you know, we're trying to gouge tenants to get as much profit as we can. But just the nature of rent control and what it does to the existing housing stock and how it doesn't really solve the issue. So give us your take on, the last ordinance we won by, which was kind of a surprise for many, many people. I think we won by how many points?
We won by, if I remember correctly, 800 votes out of thousands.
Pretty
skinny. It was a very tight race.
Yeah. So give us the reasons why we do not want to see rent control in Sonoma County or in Santa Rosa.
The circumstances are, especially as it relates to rent control and what it could look like at the end of 2018, what it could look like both at a state level and in Santa Rosa, it will motivate owners to actually remove properties from the rental market. It will actually diminish the inventory of rental properties that are presently available. There are 1,700 plus or minus rental houses, rental properties in Santa Rosa. And I know that, you know, for every subject, there are experts on both ends and economists of every range, from reactionary to progressive. Economists agree across the board that rent control does not work. And there are, you know, people who have said yes, but there's no conclusive reports that have ever been created. The fact is that if you go to Bloomberg, you'll discover that at the end of December last year, the National Bureau of Economic Reporters created a massive report based upon San Francisco's rent control, going back to 1994 and 18 years of rent control information, and discovered that the benefit to tenants, residents who obtained benefit from rent control was $2.9 billion. Mm. Offset, completely offset, and almost the same amount by the losses those people who did not benefit of $2.9 billion. 6% of the inventory was taken off the market directly as a result of the implementation of rent control, and that itself increased the rents for everybody else. The logic doesn't make sense. The numbers don't make sense.
Yeah, yeah. And it also forces more and more people into VRBOs because they can think they can get around the whole rent issue by doing the VRBO. The thing we're concerned about is supply, and we don't think rent control really solves the issue. You know, we see that we and I think if there was any part of the equation people don't get is that we're really down on supply after losing 5,200 houses. And I think the number I heard in Coffee Park, 40% of those were rentals. So we're at a, you know, at a really severe shortage now for rental properties. How are you seeing the rental market here in Sonoma County?
What's interesting is that there are many people who presume that since the fire happened that we should basically have no vacancies. And that's not true. We actually have a seasonally appropriate inventory. Right now, we probably have 16 units available for rent. Hmm. And yes, that is low. It's a low percentage. But for ourselves, for other property management firms, there is inventory out there. It is not a dearth of inventory entirely. The amount of inventory, yes, the loss in Coffee Park, the loss in Larkfield, Mark West Estates especially, really did hit us hard. So
the interesting thing is that, you know, when you look at the inventory issues, is that, you know, it is so tight, you know, but people always tell us there's nothing on the market, it's they're all being sold, but every month we have expired listings, you know, and it's just like in your market where people say there's no rentals at all, right? You have 16 properties currently, available, right? And it's the same thing with properties that are on the market. People say, well, I can't get an offer accepted because there's all these offers. Well, you know, my friend Allison Norman just got an offer accepted where there was no other offers on it. And it was in the 500 range. So, you know, it's that same kind of mentality where people are walking around going, there's no inventory of vacant, you know, rental properties. There's nothing on the market. I can't get a house. Well, there's a whole bunch of properties that never sell. And there's some properties that just take a long time to rent. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but overall in the county, okay, what's the vacancy factor now? Is it 3-4%?
It hasn't gone up to that far. It's probably 1.5-2%. It's still very tight.
Very tight. Well, we're going to come back and chat with Keith, who has a great knowledge of rental properties. We're going to be chatting about if you're a landlord, what you're allowed to do and not do. We're going to talk about service animals. We're going to talk about cannabis. I can't tell you how many properties I've gone to that have been rental properties where there is a load of cannabis being grown. So we're going to come back and chat about those things. Plus, any of your questions, give us a call at 636-1350, 636-1350. We'll be right back with Keith Becker, owner and manager of Didi's Rentals, right after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry.
I'm Klay Thompson.
I'm Draymond Green.
I'm Kevin Durant.
I'm Andre Iguodala.
Hi, this is JaVale McGee.
I'm Zaza Pachulia, and you're listening to KSRO.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Sean Livingston, and this is the home of the Golden State Warriors play-by-play. FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
For the local news you need, depend on KSRO's Pat Kerrigan.
Jeff Bumgarner is here. He's the community chapter director of the Red Cross.
Be informed. Listen to KSRO. be informed. Know what the weather's like, what the potential risks are from day to day, week to week, and, you know, the things that one might need in order to respond to a disaster, to take care of yourself, your family, and your neighborhood.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO.
Hey, Buster Posey here. I'm really looking forward to playing for the Giants this year, being prepared for each game and making good decisions. Hey! And speaking of good decisions, there's a great way to help you decide which video games are okay for your kids to play. You know about the ratings on the front of game packages and the content descriptors which are on the back, but now there are rating summaries that give you brief, straightforward descriptions of what's in the game. For more information about this, go to ESRB.org or download the Video Game Ratings Search app.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
Good morning once again, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour. Thank you for that. And we didn't say, how about those Giants, Joe? Huh? Giants? God damn. Darn.
Who is that team?
Yeah, who is that team, really? Hey, you know, we have Keith has something. We're here with Keith Becker, owner of Dee's Rentals, and he has something he would like to avail upon our audience. So why don't you tell us what you got? And, you know, with this large audience we have, people jump on free anything.
Okay. This is actually a pretty good
This is a pretty cool one, yeah.
I've been a fan of U2 since, like, this is showing my age, 1977. Seen every tour.
Sorry.
I've got tickets for San Jose.
Really?
For tomorrow night.
Wow.
A pair of tickets and parking.
Ooh.
And I can't go.
You can't go?
I cannot go.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got the tickets right here with me. And the fact is that they need to find a good home.
Okay. All right.
You think you can help?
We can probably do that. So what do you want to do, Joe? You want to take the first, second, third call, fourth call?
Who's ever up.
Who's ever up.
How do you
want to
handle how you're going
to
get it to them?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. So we could probably get it to – it's tomorrow, right?
It's tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow evening. Okay, well, you have to come down to the station tomorrow to pick them up because we are closed today. So here are the guidelines. So let's take the third call, all right, 636-1350. Are they already ringing? 636-1350, and this is for tomorrow night. This is courtesy of Dee's Rentals, Keith Becker, who cannot hit the YouTube. So we're going to take the third call, okay, for these free tickets. You'll pick them up tomorrow here at the station. So I'm sure we'll get rid of them. Here we go. It'll be gone.
Why can't I get a monkey? Why can't you catch a whale with a worm? Dad, can we go to the moon on vacation?
I think you hit something.
If you think it's tough answering these questions,
put your headset on.
Imagine the ones you'll get if your child is diagnosed with cancer.
Thank you. That's right. Okay.
It's a new board.
It's a new board,
everything's
yes.
New
we're all learning here. It's all brand new.
And tell them we got a winner.
We have a winner. Okay.
Oh, that didn't take long.
No. Okay, so who was it? Who was the lucky winner? All right, Joe will get your stay on the line. Joe will get all your information. The station opens tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. Come on down, and we'll leave them at will call for you. Okay, super. Okay, we have a winner, guys, at the front desk. So please stop the calls. We have a winner, unless you wish to talk to Mr. Becker about rental properties. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's take it from a couple of standpoints, okay? I'm a landlord. I just bought, and we just had a case where a landlord bought a duplex I had for sale, and you are managing that duplex, and I think they're going to stay with you as management. Why would I want to use a property manager when I could just do it myself?
The fact is that being a property manager, while yes, I mean, honestly, it's an honorable industry. What we do is necessary and valuable, but the fact is there are landmines. There are massive landmines, and we likely will talk about some of them.
Yes.
And even with the best of intentions, as an owner, you can find yourself stepping on one of them, and you won't know it until well after.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, you may find out, you know, about it from the end of a lawsuit. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times where I've sold properties in a duplex, you know, 1 to 4 units is like the what we call the protected class. When you get over 4 units, then you're into commercial stuff. And even though there are full disclosures, but it's really intense, 1 to 4 units. And the rental market is for those 1 to 4 units is extremely tight also. But as far as these disclosures you need to make as a landlord, lead-based paint. We have a lot of older properties, the junior college area, for one. I mean, that are you know, pre-1900s, and there are issues inherent with when you get into these properties that if you don't make that proper disclosure, Mr. and Mrs. Landlord, you are opening yourself up for a huge lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So there's the disclosure issues, but I think the greatest thing you do, and I have property in Georgia which is professionally managed very, very well, is it's that buffer. I mean, I don't want to get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, I came home, you know, I went to flush the toilet and it's running all over my house. All right. I don't want to hear that call. So tell us exactly what it is you do as a property manager.
We do get those phone calls. And the fact is most of the property management firms in town have systems to be able to take care of your needs, whether it's day, night, weekends. And our services, for example, anybody calls in with an emergency over the weekend, they will reach our emergency service. So our emergency service can immediately escalate to determine whether something really qualifies calling me, calling a vendor, getting somebody out.
Right.
Now, the fact is, in addition to the maintenance and emergency response, and as a landlord, you want to be sure that you can apply the proper tools to whatever the problem is. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to send a handyman out for something that requires a roofer or, you know, you need to know when it's time to call a lawyer and you need to have one that you can call and trust.
Right.
And in addition to that, there are the circumstances associated with having a good, solid contract that is clear and binding for both you and for the tenant, but that both sides can understand what they're expected to do. Also, being able to make sure that on a regular basis you actually do visit your property. I have heard of so many owners, and you see some of these properties,
yes.
So many owners,
yes.
That you know they basically just collect the rent and they say, oh, yeah, they're great tenants. I never hear from them, and they haven't visited in 7 years. And surprise, surprise, you walk in and it's like, oh, my God,
yeah.
What is
Seriously.
Going on here?
Seriously.
So you do need to have systems in place to make sure that both the owner is being taken care of, but also that the tenant is being taken care of.
Sure. Yeah, and and you're right, because I've heard so many tenants say, oh, I walked into the place, and it cost me $8,000 to fix up. I couldn't believe what these people did to it. Then I asked them, I go, well, how many times did you visit the property? Oh, they were never called us. We never went in. It's like 7 years. I mean, there's going to be wear and tear with any property. I mean, consider your own home. How many things go wrong in the seven years that you've owned your last house or your current house? So you've got to be aware of that. So what do you suggest now? Do you yourself go on a certain basis each year, twice a year, once a year? What should a landlord do?
A landlord should be going at least once a year. I'd recommend twice a year. You start getting more than that, and it becomes a disruption of quiet enjoyment. You you don't want to intrude on your tenant to such extent that you're really being a nuisance. But once or twice a year is the absolute minimum.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, you're looking at it from the standpoint of, is the tenant taking care of the property? But likewise, is the property holding up? Because you're going to find things that will fail.
Yeah.
Your wax seal under the toilet is going to fail.
Yeah.
You see the lino turning blue, but it's only slightly blue. Fix it now. Whereas if you don't inspect it for 7 years...
dry rot.
I have so many tenants who say, you know, I don't want to complain about anything because I'm worried that if I complain, the rent will be raised.
Yeah. Or they'll be evicted. I mean, that's and you're right. It's a common occurrence. But, you know, a proactive landlord gets in there once a year and looks at it. I've had so many people, like I said, they don't really get into it. I mean, who knows? They could have two more people have moved in. They could have now two dogs in the property where they weren't supposed to have any dogs at all. I mean, there's all sorts of issues they do after the fact. I mean, I'm sure you've seen that for forever.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we have.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those tenant, when you get the tenant leases and when you buy a property, you get an estoppel agreement, basically where the tenant is saying, this is what I understand the rental agreement to be. And then you take the property manager and you look at their original and you compare the two and you go, oops, something's over time things have changed. So that's one of the safeguards you have as a purchaser when buying property, is to make sure you talk to a really good property manager if they're being managed. If not, you need to talk to the tenant. Then you need to talk. It's like good cop, bad cop kind of. So you talk to the landlord and say, okay, let me see your lease agreement. And then you do the estoppel with the tenant and they go, and you find out it's two different things. So you got to be careful of that.
In Australia, because it's so highly regulated, 70% plus or minus of properties are professionally managed. In America, however, it's only 30%.
Interesting.
There is, you know, a vast majority of rental properties, especially the 1-4s,
right,
are self-managed by the owners of the properties. And you can do it, and you can do it successfully, but you need to know. My attorney says, ignorance of the law is no defense. Right. You need to know what you're doing.
Exactly. And if you're at an older property and you don't have a lead-based paint disclosure, and then there's some issues that happen, and you go to court, and the judge will say, where is your disclosure? What? And you're just
lead-based paint, asbestos. What about bed bugs?
Yeah.
As of the beginning of last year, every property, at the time that you sign a contract, at the time that you provide a renewal of the contract, at the time you do a rent increase, you have to provide a notification of what the tenant's rights and responsibilities are associated with bed bugs. Hmm. You know, again, the 70% of owners, yes, you can do this, you can do it well, but do you know what you're supposed to do?
Exactly, exactly. And there's also the issue about collecting rent, and then what if you have a vacancy? So let's chat about this. Look at from the tenant standpoint now. So you hear so many people that say, oh, yeah, all those property managers do is take all my money for credit reports, and you know, and they collect them up like crazy, and they never notify me and all that kind of – I mean, we hear this from tenants a lot. So what is the procedure to do this, okay, and what should every landlord watch out for?
How much time do we have? The fact
we actually have 1 minute until the break. But
okay,
just start it, then we'll come back and address.
Okay,
it.
The fact is that the amount of an application fee should be directly resultant and related to the amount of money it costs to actually run that credit report, to run that application.
Right.
Okay, let's start there. If you use credit reporting, you better be prepared to provide the tenant notice, including a notice in writing, if they have been declined or if there have been any adjustments, like an increased security deposit.
Okay.
There's much more to it.
Well, we're going to take a break. And do we have a winner, Joe, for our tickets?
We do.
Who is that?
Ron Gather of Pengrove.
All right, Ron. Congratulations.
All right, Ron.
Pick it up tomorrow. Thank you, Keith, for giving those for our audience. And we'll come back with Keith Becker, owner of DD's Rentals. We're chatting about the rental perspective from landlord and tenant. Okay, also we're talking about rent control. We'll be right back after these words.
FM News Talk Radio,
North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
They don't have to comply with a subpoena from the special counsel, says one of President Trump's lawyers, Rudy Giuliani, citing President Clinton having negotiated a deal while in office.
Hillary Clinton treatment is what I'm looking for, and that is no under oath, only a Q&A, and then we get the questions in advance, and they write the report 2 weeks before.
Giuliani on ABC's This Week says he's advising President Trump not to meet with the special counsel. Too risky. The president has not discussed pardoning his longtime personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, if he's convicted over the hush money payment to adult movie actress Stormy Daniels, says Giuliani, insisting no campaign finance laws were broken.
This was for another purpose, to protect him, to protect his family. It may have involved the campaign. Doesn't matter. And it would have been done under any other circumstances if there was no campaign.
Lava and poisonous gas from Hawaii's Kilauea volcanoes resume bursting through the ground in residential neighborhoods on Hawaii's Big Island. 1,800 people are evacuated. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home, and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny skies on the way. Today, though, partly cloudy at 70 degrees, 59 on the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 47, 48 on the shores. Blue skies for Monday at 79, 66 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday, mostly sunny at 75, 64 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour. Thank you to Keith Becker for giving the U2 tickets, which we have a lucky winner. The third caller got them, and we got that call in about 30 seconds. So, boom, boom, boom. So, Ron, good luck, and you're going to have fun. Pick them up tomorrow when the station opens. They will be will call. Keith, thank you very much for donating those great tickets.
Sad. I know you want to go. Have fun, Ron.
Yeah, have fun, Ron. Yeah. So, we're here with Keith Becker. He is the owner of Dee's Rentals. We're talking about, obviously, property management. That's what Keith does for a living. We're talking about the whole tenant process, the application scams. Now, we have a lot of people, especially in a tight market like this, I can't tell you how many times my listings have been basically hijacked by somebody on Craigslist, and people go there. They call me because they see my sign, and they go, well, so Mike, how much do you want for this? I saw it on Craigslist. I go, what did you see on Craigslist? Well, that it's for rent. I go, no, it's for sale. That's a scam. So people need to watch out and be careful. That's why it's so much better to go through a professional property manager like yourself when you're looking for a property to rent.
If you are an owner and have a property that you're listing for rent, the honest fact is that you can't get it rented without advertising it. As soon as you start advertising it, however, in this day and age, everything's internet-based. As soon as you start advertising it and you put it up and you put pictures up, it is susceptible to being stolen. It's susceptible being hijacked.
Yeah.
We watermark all of our photographs, and they all say Dee's Rentals across them. All I can advise, and this is something that basically I've got frequently asked questions onto my website, and we built the thing in 2002, the frequently asked questions. And even then, we were talking about these same scams, and they still keep going on. If something appears too good to be true, it is. Be cautious, because at the very least, you'll lose money. Somebody's going to tell you, wire me X amount of money and I'll send you the keys. And that's money lost. You'll never get it back.
Yep.
More importantly, and this is the part that terrifies me, is that applicants in the rental industry expect to give a volume of confidential information. You're dealing with Social Security numbers. You're dealing with driver's license numbers, dates of birth. If you've got somebody who's really intentionally evil and they have a Craigslist scam, it's not just money that you're at risk of losing. It is all of that confidential information that can be used against you. So if it looks too good to be true, run.
Right. So now, so the application process, and while we're talking about this, let's do that. Because, you know, it was amazing when I started as a new agent, I would take floor time where people would call in. And it got to the point where I could get almost any information because I was telling them I needed this information to qualify them for a property. And it's the same with lenders, okay? But when you do it over the phone, guys, don't do it over the phone because you have no idea who you're talking to. Never wire funds to anybody, as far as I'm concerned, unless you're absolutely sitting there at the escrow company and they say, okay, you need to wire it to this address and so we know it's the title company. Wire fraud is a huge thing, as you mentioned. But so the tenant, do they come down to your office and meet you personally and do the application there? And how do you have safeguards about their information staying confidential? Because of one property, you may get, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 applicants.
Well, this is something that, again, we talked about credit reports.
Right.
In order for us to be allowed to even run credit reports, we had to be audited and there was a physical inspection and they wanted to know how we obtain, how we store, how we dispose. And the fact is that our information is in locked cabinets, in locked file drawers, in locked rooms, in a locked office with a security system. We do not share, for example, credit reports with owners or anyone else. We don't share the confidential information on our applications with owners or anyone else. We basically are very cautious about making sure those things that are really critical, Social Security numbers, date of birth, driver's license numbers, et cetera,
right,
that they are kept confidential.
Good, good. So if you're the average landlord out there, owner landlord who's renting the property out, okay, what kind of safeguards should we expect of them? Because this guy, how do I know he's even the owner sometimes? I've had tenants call me and say, this guy, you know, he just didn't seem right, you know, and he's renting out this house. And I always double check. I said, well, here's the owner of record. Who is this gentleman? And they go, well, his name doesn't match. I said, okay.
Let's start there.
Yeah, let's start there because it should match. Or he needs to declare that he's a property manager. And they're obviously licensed, so you need to do that also. Mm-hmm. So what safeguards can a tenant make sure that you're the right person who you say you are?
Again, starting from the listing. And most everything at this point, unlike sales where you actually do put signs out, most properties rent fast enough that we no longer put signs out. Furthermore, putting signs out on a property that's for rent sometimes draws attention to the fact that you've got a vacant property which could be susceptible to vandalism. And we don't want to encourage that. But anything that doesn't smell right, stop, investigate. There are ways of cross-referencing and checking who the actual owner is. You can go to the assessor's office and get names.
Right.
It does take some diligence, but when you're talking about, you know, the standard security deposit being $2,2500, let's just say, it's worth it to be cautious before you start giving stuff away.
Yeah, right. I mean, we had a classic story. A friend of mine did a lot of REOs. He had a property. This is back in 2008, 9, 10, where we had a huge amount of REOs. And a lot of them were vacant. A guy flew through the state of California. He found a property, isolated, right, put his own sign up, said it was for rent, put a Craigslist ad. He took money from four people. And the guy was very sadistic because he said, y'all can move in Monday at 9 o'clock. And so my friend, you know, who didn't check his REO because he was out of town, comes home and his sign is back up on the property. This guy was really something else. And bingo, the people start calling him saying, where is our keys? We're all
four trucks are out front
together.
Oh, that's brutal.
That was ugly.
Yeah.
But in the end, he was on the hook, basically, it turned out, for all those rental deposits.
Your friend was, or the owner?
Yeah, there's court cases for it, yeah. Yeah, the brokerage was. So just be careful with that, folks. Just really double check. And that's why I think it's really incumbent upon you to use a really reputable firm like Dee's Rentals and Keith to make sure things are in place. So let's talk about the application. And so we've done the application, we were approved. What can we expect? What's the next step? We have deposits? It used to be first and last month's rent.
Actually, okay. I wouldn't recommend last month's rent.
Okay.
The reason is because, and I will point this out, as much as tenants feel that the deck is stacked against them, in the state of California, we're very much a consumer advocacy state. And in the landlord-tenant industry, the tenants are the consumers. The tenants are considered the consumers. Right. So there are some very substantial protections for tenants. One of them being that a landlord should not, at the time that a tenant moves in, a landlord should not collect anything more than 3 times the amount of the rent. So if the property rents for $2,000 and you collect the first month, they move in as of June 1st, first month's rent, you collect the last month's rent, that means your security deposit can be no more than an additional $2,000. There's your $6,000 entirely.
Right.
The tenant lives there for 15 years, and in that time, the rent goes from $2,000 to $2,800. Guess what? The last month, still $2,000. So we don't, as a policy, collect last month's rent.
So it's usually a security deposit than the first month's rent?
Correct. Or prorate if it's less than a full month. If they move in halfway through the month, we prorate it so that it comes due on the first of the following month.
Right, right. And then you do a walkthrough with the tenant through the property? Because I've had some tenants where I said, did you do a walkthrough? They go, well, not really. We got the keys and we moved in. Well, so that's always open. That has a tendency to, when they move out, so no, that was there when I moved in. So give us that idea about the process.
We actually, now, and bearing in mind, we have, we have hundreds of properties that we manage. And the number of properties that we manage is not really, the real issue. It's the question of how many can we manage well.
Right.
And what we do in between is we're doing the preparation of the property. And I have a team of property managers. And so we do the preparation and we send out the vendors and we have our invoices and our property managers have done their own inspection. We allow the tenants to, once they move in, to take their own time and do their own inspection. Because honestly, if I did a 15-minute sweep through and said, here, 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 you don't have the chance to run the dishwasher. You don't have the chance to fire up the heater. So we basically give the tenants the opportunity to, within a period after they've moved in, to tell us whether anything is an aberration. Otherwise, our documentation holds.
Yeah, yeah. And you really need to do that, folks, because once you get into it, things can happen. Okay. I mean, who knows? You could get into it 2 weeks later. Maybe the heater doesn't work, but it was working fine before. So you need to really determine, just what's going on. But what do you see the biggest flaw most landlords make when they manage property?
Thinking that
that sounds like
yeah, you heard the song.
Be a long list.
It is. It can be a long list. The fact is, it is not insurmountable, but it is not simple. Every issue that arises is not the tenant's fault. Problems occur. A tenant calls and says, "I've got mold," and an owner says, "Nah, it can't be that big a deal." Dear owner, get out there. Check it out for yourself.
Very quickly.
Figure out whether you've got a problem, because if you do, take care of it. It might very well be, you're right, that it's the orange stuff that grows on the tile, the grout in the shower because the tenant's not house cleaning. But at the same time, you need to be able to identify, do you or do you not have a problem? Because if you do have a problem, deal with it.
Yeah, what are the great buzzwords? I mean, mold is the classic. There is mold in the house and the landlord never did anything about it. And now I have a respiratory problem. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard that before, but like you say, there's mold and then there's mold.
Right? Correct.
Yeah, I have a pest control operator I know who doesn't call it mold. He calls it a black organic matter.
Shh.
Because it's like there, when you say mold, it's like, ah! You know, oh my God, it's the bubonic plague, all right? Well, I'm going to have you respond to that when I come back from a little short break here with Keith Becker, owner of DD's Reynolds, for talking rent control. And we'll be right back after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
Congressman Mike Thompson.
I think he should have probably learned a little from President Bush and not gone with the mission accomplished nonsense.
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, heard right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350 KSRO. Delighted to have Keith Becker in studio. He is the owner and property manager for DD's Reynolds. And how long? DD's been around for a while. Wow.
Forever. 45 yeah. years. 45, there was a DD.
There People was, say, yeah,
there
I know,
was a DD.
Because you do not look like a DD.
I am not a DD.
No, your beard gives it away. So we were chatting before we were interrupted, and you made that big sigh. You want to just finish that, then we're going to talk a little more about rent control.
Let's start with what's going to lead into rent control. I have so many owners that come to me and say, you know, my tenants are so good and I just didn't want to raise their rent. I've got an owner who's got a 3-bedroom house out in Rincon Valley and the tenant's been there since 2009. And in that time, the owner never raised the rent and it's $1,200. As a result of the fire and the rent moratorium that came in as a result of that, the landlord cannot raise the rent more than 10%. So this 3-bedroom house, which on the open market now would be worth $2,700, what can they do? The rent's $1,320, and that's all they can do.
Sure.
And the fact of not looking at it as a business, and no, you don't want to bleed your tenants dry, but at the same time, you need to look at it and say, okay, is it appropriate to make an adjustment? And do so as opposed to just leaving it benign.
Yeah, because if that tenant, you know, for some reason, say the owner wanted to occupy that property and move into it and you know, move down, now that tenant has to go to the marketplace and their rent will be doubled. Mm-hmm. Because that's the nature of the beast, okay? And rent control is not really going to stop that, okay? That's what people always suspect, because if somebody has to go to another unit and buy in the open market, that's what you're going to pay, all right? So let's chat about that. Just what is – because we talked about – remember when we talked about Costa-Hawkins? And Costa-Hawkins basically – if you want to explain that for our listeners or –
Costa-Hawkins is a law that was passed in 1995 at the state level, which limited what individual cities, what sort of rent control ordinances they can pass.
Right.
And what it did was it carved out an exclusion. And the exclusion is single-family residences, condos, properties that are alienable separate from any other units are not subject to rent control. Likewise, properties built after 1995 are not subject to rent control, no matter how large they might be. There is a campaign to overturn Costa-Hawkins, which will be coming up this summer and will be on the ballot in November, likely. Yeah. It's almost guaranteed. Yeah, almost guaranteed. What that would do is basically remove even those exemptions, meaning that everything, no matter how new, no matter how old, would be subject to local rent control moratoriums and ordinances.
Yeah, if the ordinance is passed, okay, for rent control in that city. It doesn't mean that when Costa-Hawkins gone, there's rent control.
No.
No, it simply means
it allows
that,
a city to yeah. make their own rent control ordinance, no matter how draconian they might want to make it.
Yes, yes. And so let's talk about the draconian nature. There was a city council member who tried to do an emergency rent control. I call it a gambit. It failed. She tipped her hand. We all went crazy when we heard that the city of Santa Rosa was going to venture into rent control. Forces were amassed. Okay, they went to the ballot. It was defeated narrowly. Okay, now that was, what, 2 years ago now?
It started this gambit. And we want to be careful about, the law of unintended consequences. Many of these events are almost like dominoes falling one after the other. Mm-hmm. You could see one begets another, another. Sure. It started in 2015, and the moratorium, the ordinance, was passed in 2016, and then Measure C was up for a special election in 2017, and here we are with a new version that will undoubtedly be on the local ballot in 2018.
Yeah. 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 It's going to be coming down the pike. And the realtors are obviously against it. Okay. Most property managers I know are against it. So tell us, what is the downfall of rent control from the standpoint of availability? Because we think our issue right now is supply. And it's good to see the city of Santa Rosa and the county really pushing more supply. They say we need inventory, let alone we lost 5,200 houses, but we need beyond that, we need inventory. So tell us kind of the pitfalls of the rent control issue.
Well, the honest fact is we've got, 3 minutes left? This is...
Short. We'll get you back here later on.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the things that basically everybody, whether landlord or tenant, need to start doing homework. One, understand Costa-Hawkins. Two, understand uniform housing code and the calculations of how many people can live in a unit based upon uniform housing code, because there's been an informal HUD guideline in terms of the number of residents that can live in any unit, and the formula is 2+1, 2 per bedroom plus one being the baby in the bassinet, Uncle Fred sleeping on the couch.
Sure.
That will be out the window if this particular ordinance passes in Santa Rosa, and it will instead be based upon a square footage formula. Hmm. And theoretically, imagine if you would, you've got a unit that is the size of a standard two-car garage. Based upon uniform housing code, if the living space, not kitchen, not bathroom, if the living space was the size of a two-car garage, it could be eligible for as many as 6 or more people. That's based upon these formulas. Start figuring out what these things mean. Understand the concept of the tenant buyout, because if you've got my owner who has a tenant who might want to move back in, you will start having to give notice to tenants, and the notice will be as little as 3 months, as much as 1 year notice for a tenant to move out in order for you to be able to take a property off the market. I just received a copy of the city's, this ordinance. Right. I just received a copy this week, mm-hmm. and I've been trying to understand it.
And how many pages? 54 pages?
52 pages.
52 pages.
And it's written like a poli-sci textbook. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a politician. And trying to understand what these specific verbs and verbiages mean is complicated.
Yeah, and it's pretty ethereal. It says that, you can have a fair return on your investment. I mean, and the people that are writing this, I don't think I have any idea of what ROI is anyway, but let alone a fair. Okay, I got into a very spirited discussion with it at my CAR meetings, California Association of Realtor meetings, which I had all last week, about just what is considered a fair, return. What do you think a fair return is? And not to put you on the spot, but it's right, because you don't really know it. All the, there's a whole bunch of factors involved with it. But if you read the ordinance, it is so draconian, in my opinion. This is the opinion of Mike Kelly, not the North Bay Association of Realtors or Keith's company. But there are things in there that you just go, what are these people thinking? It's re-engineering on a level that's just, to me, is unimaginable.
It basically says that as far as rent increases, with some exceptions, rent increases are on an annual basis no less than 2%, no more than 5%.
Yeah.
And you will, as an owner, in terms of those maintenance issues, theoretically you may be able to recapture large-scale jobs. But the fact is that the process requires you to commit to the job first, make sure it's all permitted, make sure that you've committed to it, and then maybe you'll be able to pass it on. The fact is basically there are, yes, we have a housing crisis. Yes, we do not have enough houses. We do not have enough inventory for the people who want to live in Santa Rosa.
Right.
Rent control is not the solution for it. But building houses is going to take months, years,
yes.
Decades.
Yes.
Housing, rent control is something that we can show, hey, look, we did something.
Yeah, it's really the low-hanging fruit. And the thing about it is when you were talking about the, doing the work, who's going to determine, and there will probably be a commission.
There is a committee.
Or something out there mm-hmm. that's going to be approving, and how long is that going to take? Well, what's the process going to be? Are you going to be grilled by four or five folks that are not landlords or just tenants? I mean, it's going to get really and can get really ugly.
Right? I think that this is going to be one of the defining subjects embroiling Santa Rosa over the course of the next 5 months.
Yeah, and we're going to chat about it pretty much in depth here. Obviously, the California Association of Realtors is against it. We're going to be coming out big time against the ballot that'll be hitting during the election on the Costa Hawkins. But we're going to have Keith come back because, Keith, you are very active in your Apartment Owners Association, and we'll be chatting about it further. But it's something to really look at hard, folks. It's, especially nowadays where we have, very little inventory on the market, we need to build more stuff. It's all about supply, right? And David Guin, who's the head of the developments of City of Santa Rosa, sharp guy, he's been on the show a couple of times. We'll have David back in, but they need to go up. We need to go up. We've got plenty of airspace above us. Okay, instead of sprawling out, which everybody's worried about, go up, create some really good affordable housing. We had an incredible demonstration, Keith, of the company that took over the Blue Mountain property. They have 7 acres under roof in Mare Island, and they're building modular units. They call them off-site properties. And this guy has done apartments like for $250 a square foot.
There's a place on 14th and North,
uh-huh.
which is modular. It was built at standard structures up in Windsor and then assembled almost like Legos. And it's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one gentleman who actually did a grid in San Francisco, and he offsite came in with the properties and just stuck them into the grid. So the very little disturbance in the neighborhood when you build these, this cost is very low, which means that the return on an investment will be higher at market rent. So, and there's all sorts of good chances for subsidized rentals and this type of thing. So, Keith, thanks for coming in. Okay.
Of course.
It's not enough time. I told you it wasn't going to be. It just flies by. We had thanks for the great U2 tickets. I know our listeners are going to be delighted in doing that. We'll have you back. Give us your number, how people can get a hold of you for your services.
My office is 707-523-4500. Or you can check us out at ddsrentals.com.
Great. Keith, thanks for coming in. Appreciate the tickets. Our listener, have fun. Joe, I'll see you next Sunday. This has been the Real Estate Hour. We'll see you next Sunday.
You've been listening to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Join Mike every Sunday morning at 9 for tips on buying and selling your home. Call in and ask your questions direct. Don't forget to check in daily with The Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Mike Kelly on The Real Estate Hour, Sunday mornings on KSRO and KSRO.com.